I fire hose people and I tell them what's going on with me, mm-hmm. and then I deal with me, and then I just walk away and I go, that was a good conversation.
Dude, that's this podcast.
100%.
You are looking so much better. Sober October is really working on you. You're down to...
I gotta be honest with you, man. I feel like you.
You feel like me.
Like boring. Like, like I do the things you're doing. I'm doing what you're doing. Yeah. But you do it in when you can drink. I'm just going like, all right, I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, okay. And I just go to bed.
You kind of feel somewhat happier though, too.
I'm not. I don't have any panic. I feel very emitted. Like I feel like there's no
sparkle.
You realize
you just skimmed over. You're like, boring. I don't have any panic in my life.
I don't have any panic. That's the one thing that I'll tell you what. You want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
Yesterday, we were at Buffalo Wild Wings, my favorite place in the world to be. I love Buffalo Wild Wings. I love Buffalo Wild Wings. I'll tell you this. They came at me to do a voiceover.
You're a perfect match.
Yeah. Dude, it's my spot.
Yeah.
Buffalo Wild Wings is one of the best places you'll ever go. They've got every football game on. They've got every fucking football game on. They've got like 40 different choices of wings you can have. They have the Buffalo Wild Wings Challenge. They have, it is one of the, their salads are great. Their tater tots are fucking amazing. Their nachos come with chili on them and deliver. Fucking full Diet Cokes. And then they got those tall pint beers, those yards. My mouth's watering.
Yeah, I can see why.
Yesterday, I had the weirdest thing happen.
You were at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Buffalo Wild Wings, watching the games, and I saw a dude killing his yard, and it made me feel sick.
I'm sorry?
Killing his yard, like a yard of beer.
Okay, okay.
And I went, ugh. And I did what like Andrew Zimmern does, where he goes, who could drink a beer? Like Andrew Zimmern's, I just remember one time.
Zimmerman?
Zimmern. Zimmern.
Oh,
Zimmern?
Is it Zimmern?
Zimmern?
Andrew Zimmern?
Andrew Zimmern.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Zimmern.
Okay. Zimmern from Food Network, Travel Channel.
Right.
One time he was like, who can drink a beer at the airport? And I remember going like, the fuck are you talking about? Who can drink a beer at the airport? It's maybe the best place in the world to drink a beer or a cocktail early in the morning at an airport.
I'd never seen anything like it till I went to the airport with you.
Yeah. It's my favorite place to have a drink.
Just, next to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Next to Buffalo Wild Wings. Well, there's a lot of favorite places. But yesterday, I had a distaste for it. And I looked at a woman ordering a Corona, and I went, ugh.
Yeah.
And I was like, why wouldn't you just get a nice glass of water or a Diet Coke? And
see, your habits are changing. What if you went totally sober after this month?
So... I think my drinking is much deeper than just having a good time.
You do, yeah.
I think there is a humility to it. I think there is a denying of where I am or who I am, and I drink there to be even keeled and be regular.
That's very insightful of you to pick up on that.
I look at businessmen that fly and they don't drink and they get on their computer and I always go like, who the fuck do they think they are? And then the other day I got on the plane and I was terrified, obviously, but I didn't have panic because I hadn't drank in a while. And I got on the plane and I said to myself, I started watching this documentary and this guy, Andy Roy, he's a skateboarder and he's dealt with addiction pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And I thought, my addiction isn't that bad. And I said, this sounds really weird, but I go, you need to claim your power and realize you've traveled the world. You fly every fucking week. You are successful. You're probably the most successful person in this first class right now. And yet you're the fucking loser that gets blackout drunk at 8 a.m. because you can't handle it. Yet you've, and I'm looking around, I'm just being real. I've probably achieved bigger things than, and it's a, you know, it's a fucking small first class, but I go, I've achieved bigger things than anyone in this first class.
Yeah.
And yet I'm this powerless loser.
Well, hold on. I would say you're making really good points, and then you're not saying some things that make sense there. The
say it.
So, well, I would lose the powerless loser part of this.
But it's more, I am powerless over the, like,
what's
when
more
I get on a plane.
Interesting is the observation you made about yourself saying that, oh, I think it's not just like I like to have a good time. It's that the drinking is doing something, it's kind of numbing the fact that you are where you are in that moment and you don't want to be there.
That's it.
That is an interesting thought that I've never heard you voice.
Yeah.
And it's more in line with how people talk about substance being an issue. It's not just partying feels good.
Yeah.
It's that it's numbing something or it's distracting you. You're able to deny the fact that you are either alone or feeling alone or don't want to be there. That is an interesting thing to explore.
I do not want to be on a plane. I do not want to be on a plane.
Do you know that I had this thought the other day? I was flying a helicopter, and we did auto rotation, which is where you kill the engine and just descend. And I was like, I would pay so much money to have Bert in the back of this thing and have a camera on your face just being like, ah! and then you just kick the engine on right when you fucking.
I've never been in a helicopter sober.
Really?
And I was in New Zealand one time, and I said, hey man, is it cool if I drink in this helicopter? He goes, absolutely not. And I went, I said, but it's I'll be fine. And he goes, yeah, it's a very small space, and I do not need a lunatic drunk in my helicopter. And I went, okay. So I was like, fuck him. So I got 6 bottles of Jack. I got a little thermos. I filled it with ice. I filled all the thing all the way with Jack. I started drinking before takeoff, and then we get in the helicopter, and we're flying over, I think it's called Glass Lake in New Zealand. I forget what the name of it is. It's out in, see if there's a thing called Glass Lake in New Zealand. Yeah. Yeah, we're flying over Glass Lake in New Zealand. It's gorgeous. Yeah, you can see the bottom of it. It's really terrifying. And so we're flying over, we're going to shear sheep or something, and I'm drinking whiskey, and I'm like, this is fucking beautiful. And we all have headsets on. And the guy goes, shh. He's like, hey, man, I can smell the whiskey. And I go, you can? He goes, I thought I told you not to drink. I go, don't worry, I'll be cool. And he goes, well, we don't have much of a choice now, do we? Man, I
like that you didn't think that they would be able to smell it.
I just was
in
like,
that tight little compartment. You know, somebody like, did you eat fucking garlic today? You know everything.
Dude, it's interesting. I don't have any interest in drinking. Like, if we're going to talk about Sober October in we should talk about Sober October because I think this is the first one that will really release in October, right?
No, we're well into October now.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is 7 more days sober than I thought I'd have. I don't care to drink. It's interesting. It's almost like a diet. You ever start a diet and you find yourself opening the refrigerator a lot?
Yes, yes. I know exactly.
That's how I feel. Like where I go, never mind.
But this is a very, that is a very interesting thing is to actually deal with that. The thing you got to do in those moments, same thing as when you open the fridge, is actually acknowledge the moment, right? Like when you're dieting and you open the fridge, sometimes you do it mindlessly, but there's moments where you open it and you go, what am I doing? Why am I opening
the
fridge?
Why am I opening it?
What am I looking? Like, it's the same shit that was in the fridge 20 minutes ago when I looked and I didn't find anything then. And that's the thought to explore, right?
Yeah, well, for me, it exclusively, this sounds crazy, exclusively happens in an airport. That is my weakness.
Yeah, I have fucking never seen anything like that. When we did San Francisco for that game, that was so insane to me. You have no idea. You know that I needed a nap at noon.
Yeah.
At noon, I was like, I have to go lay down. I'm not going to make it through the day. And I go, where will you be? And you go, I'll be right here, at this bar. And I'm like, seriously? And you're like, yeah. And then we drank so much that day, Bert. And the craziest part was at the end of the night, we got back from that game. You go, smoke a cigar. And we smoked a cigar. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to bed. And you go, seriously? And I go, well, yeah. Now it's like 1 in the morning. You're like, don't you want to keep this going?
By the way, as you're telling this story, I remember going like, this is the best time. We're in the sweet spot right now.
Yeah, I was like, I am way past the sweet spot.
I actually said last night, because my schedule is overwhelming right now.
Same.
And I go, last night I was like, they're like, all right, 2 shows last night. I had to work out at fucking 1 in the morning. We get done. We get back to the bus at 2 after showering, 2:30. We're sitting in the bus, and they're like, all right, 9 a.m. flight. Into Austin, 2 Bears, 1 Cave. You have a phone call at 4:30. You have to work out it over on it at 6. And then what are we doing for dinner? And I just was like, I literally said, how did I do this when I was drinking?
Right.
Like when I was drinking, how did I get through this? Because I did the same schedule.
It's crazy to me because I have a very similar schedule to yours. You know, it's super aggressive. And I don't drink like you, and I barely am able to function.
I don't know how I did it. And it kind of, I wonder if it is part of the reason I drink is that I go, I'm getting treats throughout the day. So I just go like, I'm looking forward to things.
Yeah.
I when I walk into an airport, that is my trigger where I go, today we were in Charlotte, and I went, they have these little minute rooms where you can go in for an hour and you'd be away from everyone. Mm-hmm. So I got one. It's crazy, my dialogue in my head. So I go in there, and normally what I do is I go in there and I empty out all the booze into my little growler, and I make my drink in there because so no one can see me make a drink. So I make my drink in there, and then I have a drink in there, or I like go to duty free, get a bottle of wine, go in there. Like that's my little safe spot.
Yeah.
So I go in there and then I just sit, and I was like, okay. I was like, I'll call my dad. I'll check in with everyone. I'll send some texts. And then we get out, and it's like, all the opportunities are open. The bar next to the Minute Place is opening up. And they're like, hey, come on in and get a drink. And I was like, no. I was like, God damn it, man. If this was any other day, I'd be like, oh, yeah. And I just double Tito's soda, big glass, no lime. Can I get a second one? I'm just going to murder this one real quick. And then all the bars were opening up, almost like they were like tempting me, like bring out your dad. So then we get on the plane, and the lady's like, this is my brain.
Yeah.
I'm in seat 1E. By the way, the gentleman I'm about to say this to, I hope this doesn't sound insensitive. I but whatever.
Black is what people call him. It's just.
So I go to get my seat, and the lady goes, hey, would you mind switching with the gentleman from 1F? And will you sit by the window? And I went, yeah, of course. She goes, oh, that is so sweet of you.
Oh my God. By the way, that's where we're real different.
Why?
Because I'd be like, you can get fucked. I would absolutely be like, that's not, I've said it. And I mean, one guy wanted to assault me. I'd be like, it's not happening.
I always switch seats.
I make it a point. I go, you should have booked the fucking seat you wanted. Okay.
I always get 1E or 1B because I like being in the aisle in the front row.
And I tell women with children have asked me, I go, get out of here.
I've traded and gotten shit seats before too.
I go, it's
the,
not happening.
The last one in the row where it doesn't recline. And I go, no wonder you wanted to fucking switch.
Yeah. No.
So I switch with her. I switch and I go, yeah, I'll switch. And the guy rolls in on a wheelchair, right? And he sits down next to me, and he's like, hey, I appreciate it. And I was like, sure thing. And then my brain goes, you visibly did a solid for the plane. No one's cutting you off today. Like,
oh my God.
Like, so like I can drink as much as I want. That's what my brain did immediately. And she walked by, she says to this group, she goes, orange juice, water, coffee, orange juice, water, coffee, orange juice, water, coffee. Can I get you a cocktail? To me. And I went, nope. And I thought, man.
What time was this?
This is 9 in the morning. I would have loved it. I would have loved a cocktail. So I'm nervous to fly. It really is. I'm nervous about takeoff. Once I got up in the air, I fell asleep. I was fine.
The takeoff.
Yeah, but takeoff.
Does landing scare you?
No, landing didn't scare me at all.
It's just takeoff.
Actually, what happens is my claustrophobia kicks in about having to be there for 2.5 hours. So I have to gamify it in my head where I go, okay, takeoff's 15 minutes. I know that. So getting up to altitude's 15 minutes. And then I just need to get to an hour after that, and then I'm halfway there. And once I'm halfway there, then it's easier. But like those long flights, I cannot do them sober because I just go, I'm just sitting here losing my fucking mind. This flight, I took off. I listened to a history podcast, fell asleep, and woke up with 30 minutes to land. And I was like, oh, thank God. Thank you, God.
Maybe you're
like,
sleeping better, though.
I'm not. I'm so, dude. Oh, hey, whoop. Battery. Can I tell you my favorite thing about my Whoop?
Yeah, sure.
Is the fucking battery.
Yeah. You
never have to take off your fucking Whoop to charge it.
No.
That's my favorite thing about this fucking thing. And more things should have that. I had a watch. I had a Garmin watch, and I'd have to take it off and plug it up. And then you wouldn't have your watch on while you slept.
It is brilliant that you don't have to take it off. The think about, so I think I told you before, I'm focused on sleep. It's like the thing that I think about. And it's harder to do because of my schedule. I tour like a fucking psycho.
Are you on a bus every day?
The bus, you know, we fly, bus picks us up, go like maybe city bus. Then maybe it's a long drive and I'll fly to the next city and then bus meets it. So like it's bus, hotels, planes.
What's your recovery like when you sleep on the bus?
Oh, I sleep like an absolute shit on the bus. Dude, but
my recovery is non-existent on the bus.
Well, I last night, I first night I got good sleep in a while, and my recovery was terrible. I got 8.5 hours of sleep. It's the most sleep I've had in a while.
In a plane?
No, home, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But the recovery was like 50%. So like Whoop measures your heart rate, your breathing.
Oh, my resting heart rate's fucking through the roof. Keep going. I want to talk to you about my fucking health.
Well, I was like, what the fuck? Because I pulled it up. It's the first thing I look at. I wake up and I'm always like, how did I sleep? You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's the first thing I look at. I can wake up feeling amazing, but if my Whoop tells me I'm not amazing, I go
eight and a half hours of sleep.
That's great.
Recovery 46%. And I'm like, wait, why is it like that? And I think it's that I didn't get good deep sleep.
So wait, let me see.
Here it is. My efficiency was low. It measures your like wake events, your efficiency, and your respiratory rate. And my efficiency was low, which means I think that I didn't sleep enough in the deep zone, because you have awake, light, deep, and REM. My REM was fine, but my deep wasn't there, and that's pretty. I guess a lot of your restorative takes place in deep sleep. So then I'm feeling it today. I'm like, fuck, you know. It's like last night I had to get that workout in. I was so goddamn tired.
My recovery is 9%.
Let me see.
9%.
Nine?
Yeah, but that's because...
But you haven't slept.
It's because I wish Whoop had a tour bus setting on this.
Wait a minute, you didn't sleep at all?
No, I fell asleep, but we drove. So when you drive in the bus, I don't think it says you're asleep. I think your arm's moving. It's never said I've slept. Like my last...
Yeah, this says your wake events were high.
Yeah, I think it's because the bus is moving.
I get, but it also says you slept 1 hour and 20 minutes and that's it.
That was a plane flight.
That's all you've slept?
That's all I've slept, technically.
Well, what's non-technically?
I got into my bunk last night. I fucked around on my phone.
And then
we had to drive to the airport.
How long was the drive?
2.5 hours. So I slept then a little bit, but that doesn't count any of that.
And then the flight was this morning?
Flight was this morning.
Out of where?
Charlotte. And so, that technically is from the plane, I think. It says, 10:30, 9 a.m. to 10:30. So it was on the fucking flight.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, and so, but on the tour bus, my recovery is shit. I can't wait to go to sleep tonight. Actually, tonight, I said to myself, I'm going to get to bed early. It's funny. I really.
That's good. Do it tonight.
I've been listening to Huberman a lot.
He's great.
A lot. The one thing he talks about is how important sleep is, especially for like cognitive like dementia and shit.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Huberman's like, that's not what I said, Bert.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I listen to it while I sleep. So, but my resting heart rate has dropped from when I'm partying around 72 is like my walk around heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
My walk around heart rate right now is 55.
So it dropped significantly.
Dude, my blood pressure is.
So wait, aren't you thrilled with that?
Yeah.
How's your eating been?
I have not paid attention to it. Meaning I just am kind of doing, it's weird. I feel like it's the only treat I get.
Right.
And
right.
So.
That's what happens. That's what happens to a lot of people who like really like to consume one, like, you know, a big drinker, smoker, somebody, and then they quit. Then they're like, well, then I'm going to indulge in this other thing.
Yeah.
You know, so that's normal.
I eat okay.
Has your weight changed?
I haven't weighed myself. I think probably the same. I think it's probably dropped a little bit. I mean, my workouts.
Yeah, so you have less calories coming in for sure.
100% less calories. And I'm working out like crazy. But I'm working out after my shows
a
lot of times.
It's fucking nuts.
So that we get done a show and then, or we'll do a workout right before the show.
I like that.
I love working out right before
the show. Pre-show is good.
I'm traveling with Lacey, my trainer.
It's a game changer.
Yeah, oh, and so we do protein shakes. I love a protein shake. God damn it, that's a treat.
Yeah.
And then And then, but my recovery's for shit. I can't wait to sleep in a bed tonight and get good recovery and
do see it, what it's man. Like. Try to get some real sleep tonight.
I hate when people try to tell me, well, you know, you got to give it some time. I go, go fuck yourself. Yeah. I've quit drinking before. I've quit drinking a ton in my life, and it never fucking takes 9 days to get recover. They're like, well, you got to remember your hard part. I go, don't fucking talk to me like you're a doctor. You know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
Just shut the fuck up. I can't stand. I can't stand. By the way, I have so less patience with people. I have such I'm picking apart people.
This is the kind of bird I want to hang out with.
Being a parent can be scary. You don't have to tell me that. I've been a parent for 18 years now. Back in the day, checking for monsters under your kid's bed, reaching inside their pants pockets. The indescribable pain of stepping on a Lego with bare feet. One thing that doesn't have to be scary, getting life insurance. One of the most important things we can do as a parent is protect our children, and life insurance is just one of the many ways we can do so. Fabric by Gerber Life was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high-quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Fabric's new lower prices mean significant savings over other providers, with quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than $1 a day. You do not want to pass this up. It takes less than 10 minutes to apply. See your quote, then personalize your quote to fit your family's needs. You could be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required. Protect your family today with Fabric by Gerber Life. Apply today in just 10 minutes at meetfabric.com/bears. That's meetfabric.com/bears. meetfabric.com/bears. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
I hate nice Bert to people. Oh. I want to see Bert be like, go fuck yourself.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I didn't get to, this is the one I wanted to tell you. One time I was on a plane, I was in first class, and it was like a massive plane, like a 777.
I love those.
Where the first class is like there's a row, a center row of doubles, and then another row.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in my seat, in this aisle seat on the right side, and a couple walked over, and I was like looking down, and then she goes, excuse me, and I go, no. And she goes, you haven't even heard what I had to say. And I go, okay. She goes, would you move seat? I go, no.
I want to do that so bad.
Yeah.
I want to do that so bad.
And then they were like, okay. And then the guy sat down and I was like, fucking learn how to book flights. Okay.
I told you about the time that they were like, we're looking for someone who's willing to trade seats with a person sitting in the bulkhead. Is anyone willing to sit with someone in the bulkhead? And no one was, when I was younger, I was flying from New York to Tampa, and they're like, we will give you free drinks. And I went, oh, they go, not you, not you. you seem too excited, sir.
Have you seen that AI art that like has been posted?
Allen Iverson?
Allen Iverson art?
No. Wait, AI, is that also artificial intelligence?
Yes, yes, yes.
That's interesting that the two
have the same initials. But it's like, you know, it's weird. Like, it looks like the person it's supposed to be.
Wait, what's this AI?
I'll pull it up. Well, I'm going to show you. So it's auto-generated, and it's just by keywords. And what it looks like is like, you know, it's the person, but it's all like a little off. So like, if you type my name in, you're like, right? You're like,
wait, what is this?
That's Tom Segura auto-generated.
That's old Tom Segura.
But still, it's like, it's weird, right? You're like, okay. Like, but it's like a couple degrees off.
Wait, I'm so confused what this is.
It's artificial intelligence generated art just by keywords.
Okay.
And then you're like, huh, that's so, it's.
Why does it say Tom Segura?
Because like, it makes it like, it kind of, everything is like a degree off. Like it doesn't do exactly what you say, right? So
who's that?
That's supposed to be me. Yeah.
That's great.
Right? Like you're like, oh, that's kind of, you know what it feels like?
Kind of you.
It feels like when fans give you the like, I spent 3 days drawing you, and you're like, you're so talented.
You're like, thank you so very much. Huh.
And you're like, that's so nice of you.
Someone did a picture of Priscilla and gave it to us.
Uh-huh.
And Leanne goes, I can't hang this up. She goes, this makes me, it makes me not like the dog.
Dude, I got tagged in one that was so bad.
Really?
And most of them are. I mean, some people are legitimately very good at it. And there's just some. And I looked at it, I'm like, what is this? And then the people were like, man, like great work to telling him. And he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to actually have this one go to the next level. I was like, well, I don't want to see the next level. Oh my God. I don't think you want to. No, it's good. It's going to make them feel way too bad. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's too bad. We'll stick with this. So
that is, can they do that for me?
Oh, I did. I got
a computer generated Bert.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is going to be complimentary.
Wait, I want to show you. I was like, man, I look like shit in these. So I decided to type in my name and then add bodybuilder.
Oh.
And then I got that.
That looks like me.
I was like, this is fucking weird. It's so fucking.
It doesn't look, it just looks off. Like, it looks like you, but off.
It all looks off. It all is like, exactly. Like, it's.
That's you?
That's supposed
to
be.
Is that what you were posting of Duncan the other day?
Yeah.
Oh, I was trying to figure out what the fuck that was.
And then it gave me that one. And I was like, all right.
I like that one.
That one's a little bit better.
Fuck yeah.
And then I typed in more like keywords and it finally gave me that. I was like, all right, that's.
So what are the keywords? Jeans, abs.
Oh, wait, this is another one where when I typed in bodybuilder, I got this back first. I was like, what the fuck?
That actually looks like you, though.
I know.
Like in your face.
It does. And then I typed in male model, and I got that.
Jesus.
So then yours are, this is just typing in your name, too. So hold on. I want to make sure you, because the thing is, you're going to be like, oh, that is me, but it just feels off. That's the main thing, is that it all feels a little bit off. Hold on, let me find the first one that I wanted to show you. Like, okay, this, you're like, okay, I guess that is Bert, right?
Oh yeah.
But
oh,
like,
yeah.
Uncomfortable, you're like, yeah. That makes me feel uncomfortable.
That's the guy I don't like. Like, if I meet that guy and he goes, hey, we look alike, I go, no, we don't.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, this is every single person I meet in the airport.
Yeah,
who's like, hey man, they say we're twins, and I go,
yeah. By the way, for your name,
yeah,
you don't have to type in shirtless for it to appear shirtless. Because AI takes in, like, who, you know, who the person, I guess every you know, all the intelligence about you that exists. It also does this weird thing with your mouth. Your mouth is weird in almost every one of these.
Really?
Yes. And Duncan told me this, because Duncan's the one who introduced me to this.
Of course.
He goes, if you're fat, it's a good way to know if you're fat, because if you're fat, it makes you fatter. And if you're thin, it makes you emaciated. Like, the AI naturally does that.
I can't wait to see how fat I am.
Well, it gets worse. Like, there's one, but like that's still like.
My teeth. I don't like my teeth.
This is you. I think this is you if you were in the 1960s. Right?
I don't like my teeth. Why do they do this with my teeth?
I don't know.
Those are the teeth I don't like on people.
Then it made you hanging out with you.
I like the one on the other one I like.
And it gave you the hat. You wear a hat a lot.
Yeah.
It just automatically gave you the hat.
That, I like my hairline in that.
Yeah, that's a good hairline.
I don't know about those folds under my tits. Okay.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's not too far off. That's, I don't like the jaw and the teeth and the lips. Like, it looks like.
I know.
Motherfucker.
I don't know what's going on.
It kind of looks like me.
That's what I'm saying. It's like.
Type in Leanne. I want to see what Leanne looks like.
Well, these I had these saved already.
Do you generate?
I could do her.
I want to see if it's hotter than she is.
Hold on. I want to get you to some good ones here. What's that?
Look at the face.
Oh. I hate those fucking teeth.
I know.
You know, that's what I see myself as?
That's why you hate it.
Yeah. Then I go, oh.
This is, yeah, these are all they get weirder, though. Like, the AI thing makes everything a little bit stranger.
I'm going to be the last guy to realize the dangers of AI.
I know.
Because I don't really understand this at all. Do I have a second row of teeth underneath my teeth? Am I like a shark?
Oh, fuck. God, this made me laugh. So, hold on. There's some weird ones here.
Well, I like that one.
You do?
I could go for an ice cream cone.
Ice cream would be nice.
Oh, look at my cock.
I know. It's not bad.
That's not a bad cock.
Not at all.
That's a bad cock. That looks like an AI cock where they just went, and we'll make one real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, it does that a lot.
Who's that?
I don't know.
And what are we sucking on?
I don't know.
Who is that?
I don't know.
She looks kind of fucking hot.
Yeah. She's cool.
It's that, the fucking teeth that are making me creeped out. It's so, the teeth and the eyes. They make me look like the guy that goes, hey, guys. Are we going to ride in the back of the truck or the front of the truck today?
But also, I think AI picks up on the fact that you've done a million pictures like this. Right? And that's why it's doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So AI goes through all the pictures you have in your head.
I think it's like, it's all the information, like it's things you can't, digital content, keywords, things associated. It's like, you know, it's gathering all this information.
So then from now on,
yeah.
If when people type my name in, yeah. Just type in blackface. So that all my AIs come up.
That was weird as shit.
God damn it.
I know. I think it's two U's.
What? Is that me having sex with me?
I think so.
I've done that before.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know who that is. There's a girl there, though. That's cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's me.
And you.
Docking me.
Yeah.
That's me fucking a fleshlight with me?
I think so.
That's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool.
I wouldn't mind that as in my house.
That one's disturbing.
That's disturbing.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
And that's so fucking bizarre that this is what AI does.
Yeah.
That's a cool looking dick. Why is it making my dick look like it's been hurt?
Why are you turning into Ari in this one? I don't know.
How about that picture of Ari naked, that video of Ari naked the other day?
What picture?
The video he sent of him doing push-ups, sit-ups, and then running up his stairs.
I didn't see it. What? It's bad?
No, his body is... he needs these push-ups.
Really?
Yeah. How are you doing on your push-ups?
Pretty good.
What do you do?
I do sets of 20. So I did sets of 20, and then by day 3 or 4, I was doing 20, 20, 10, and then 10s. Does that make sense?
Mine have dropped.
So mine dropped for like 3 days, and then I was able to do the last two back-to-back days, sets of 20. You know what, another thing that was weird? Yesterday, and I was exhausted, I was working out with a weight vest on, and so I was doing these jogs, and then I go to my kettlebells and do goblet squats, then jog back with the vest on, and then I take the vest off and drop down to do push-ups, and the push-ups felt so much easier after dropping that weight off. That was kind of interesting.
I have to start as a warm-up that I don't even count. I have to do 10 on my knees to loosen up my chest.
That makes sense.
I have to do 10 on my knees, and then I'll do... Yesterday, I had to do 20 push-ups to get warm to do 20 push-ups. Like, I had to, like do 5, then, like, real slow, another 5, and then all of a sudden, once I get warm, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting because I noticed the difference in how I feel.
Yeah.
Like, I notice, like, my arms feel, like, little things. Like, pull my bag out today.
Yeah.
My arm felt strong. My shoulders feel strong.
Yeah.
You're
going to feel incredible at the end.
I'm loving 100 push-ups a day.
That's a good one.
I love that.
Never done anything remotely close to that.
No.
I've never done push-ups 3 days in a row.
Oh, yeah. Me either. And this is right now. And I was doing push-ups before this.
You were?
Yeah, yeah. Because we were just fucking around. Not every day, but a month before this. We were like, I think we talked about doing 100, and I was like, I should get ready for 100, because I don't think I'm going to be able to go right into 100.
You should definitely take care of yourself. Like, that warm-up thing's a good idea.
It's funny. You know, if you don't know Joe, everything Joe says sounds like the gospel. But when you know Joe, you have to realize... So it's part of the reason when Joe said all the shit he said about, you know, ivermectin and fucking horse tranquilizers or what else, all the stuff he was taking. And everyone got really upset.
Yeah.
And me, guys like me and you were like, he's Joe. Like, yeah. Why the fuck are you listening to Joe? Like, he's Joe. So, like, because we've been listening to Joe forever, and you got to kind of sift through Joe's enthusiasm about something,
uh-huh.
off of something he just discovered, off of something he read, and the fact
that he will be doing things that you don't do,
that no one does, no one does, and he's the one that you just got to go like, I guess let's get intravenous stem cells,
yeah,
and so, but it's funny, he said something that I've never really put a lot of weight into, and now I do, and that is, if you are not lifting weights into your 50s, you are turning into an old man.
It's a great point. It is a great point.
You need
weight resistance. Everybody goes, I'm getting older, I'll stop, and that's literally the opposite.
It's of when you should start.
You got it. You got to have weight resistance, and it affects your structural, your skeletal structure, your bone density, your muscles. You see people that really work out, like lift,
yeah,
as they get older, and you see them like move around differently. They like stand up straighter. They're fucking, they have longer life. And then you see these fucking absolute zilches, these losers fucking bent over. It's because they never picked up a weight. Like, if you want to be that person, don't lift weights.
John Manns, my cameraman, is 56, and we're doing the workout the other day, and he has a hard time with his shoulders, and he's like, and they're like 20s.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I can't get it all the way to the top.
Yeah.
And I stopped him, and I was like, hey man, you might need to, like, you should focus on that, because that
and
doesn't
start
get,
lower. Start, don't feel like you have to go heavy. You don't have to go heavy. You can start, everyone's ego gets in the way.
Yeah.
And they go like, oh, it's gotta be this weight or I don't lift. Start with fucking fives if you have to.
But that is like, I've kind of paid it no mind, because sometimes Joe's saying something and I'll write a joke to do the opposite to see if I can come up with material.
Oh my God. And also, sorry to cut you off, but no. Dr. Rhonda Patrick.
Oh yeah.
So she's been participating.
She's been fucking awesome.
She tags us. If you want to see the way weightlifting affects your brain and your body, like, go to her page. You don't have to listen to us. This is a real, like, it's at Found My Fitness. And she's a PhD in what, biomedical science?
Yeah.
And then she breaks down in her stories and in her reels, I think, every day of like how it affects your body, your genetics and aging, all this shit.
And your brain.
Your brain. It's like, if you have doubts about actual strenuous workouts, follow what she says and, you know, maybe dispute her.
Exercise changes your genes and your kids can inherit those. Fuck. I mean, this is... I've always thought, I don't know if this fucking Sober October is breaking me, and I'm a.
Maybe it's not breaking you. It's making you like actually.
You know what it is? I just figured it out.
You're realizing, like, you're facing some things.
I don't hate Joe this year.
Oh, you don't hate Joe this year.
Every Sober October, I've hated Joe. Like, I'm always been in competition with him,
uh-huh.
So I'm fighting whatever he's pushing.
Uh-huh.
So like, and like he said the other day when we did the podcast, he goes, yeah. I spend 80% of the time thinking about destroying Bert.
Yeah.
And I think I spend 100% of the time protecting Bert and thinking, how do I destroy Joe?
Yeah.
And I've never been open to anything he said ever. Even with drinking, I was like, yeah, this is a little profound. Even with drinking, Tom,
mm-hmm.
He was like, I was like, yeah, I'll stop for a month, exactly a month. And I'll go exactly back how I was. And that's the way my brain goes.
It's almost like proving it to him.
Yeah,
right?
I did it. Now I'm back. What are you going to do? And he'd be like, I really don't think he doesn't ever say anything out of love, but he'd be like, hey man, you got to pull back your drinking. And I was like, no. I can go as hard as I want and I'll stop and I'll go right back. And I think this is the first time that we're doing this as adults, as all being, and also it was like, it's not like me and you don't need to do Sober October anymore. Like when we first started doing Sober October, it was a big thing. Joe had the biggest podcast in the world. We were moving, trying to sell tickets at theaters. And now like we're both doing bigger venues and Sober October is by 100% choice. It's not by like, yeah, it's a great way to get attention to our pages. We're on the biggest podcast. We go on there twice, you know, like it really is 100% by choice. And I think I'm allowing it to be like, I meant did a huge pros and cons list of like, things that are better about my life.
During sobriety?
During sobriety. And it's like there are 25 things that are better about my life that without question better than my life.
What are some?
I'm not chasing alcohol. I'm always chasing alcohol. I'm always running after alcohol, like going like, what are we going to get? Should we get a bottle of wine? Let's get two bottles of wine. Let's make sure we have enough bottle of wine so that if he's not here, we're not waiting for him. You know, we're like going to a premiere and they go, hey, they're opening up booze. I go, well, let me get four Tito's and sodas so I can drink throughout the whole movie. You know, or like stuff like that. Like you've seen me at those movies when we rent the movie at theaters out here.
Yeah.
And I go, grab me two. Because I don't ever want to, like, it's chasing alcohol because I don't want to be without. I want to have a drink. And like, being on a plane, I micromanage the amount of alcohol I bring on a plane personally. Like, those little baby bottles of Jack. I have a little growler that I bring. I make sure, like, I plan things out. There's so much attention into making sure I can have a drink. I want one.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden, all that is fucking just gone. And it frees up so much space in my head where I go, I just know I can't do it. Now, here's the question.
That's kind of nice freeing, right?
I mean, it's insane. It's insane how
much. It's a liberating feeling.
The only problem is it's like I'm losing a little bit of the sparkle. Like this, the sparkle.
You're not, dude. That's in your head.
I think I got to find it.
Yeah, that's in your head. It's in your head that you think that, and because I think people that are not you see it. You can see that you think that without the party aspect that your spark is gone. The spark is you. You're the spark.
But I mean, for me, it's like the feeling of like,
yeah, but you can,
my heart skipping a beat.
You can find that without it. You can.
I'm curious to see how I behave when the month's up because it's my birthday. So here's the thing. So I go, I turn 50 in November.
Got a line on something for you.
Really?
And by the way, we should talk about the fact that we discussed not escalating these things even more.
Yes. So it gives me so much anxiety.
Yeah. So it,
and I think it's a tad bit unrelatable.
I also want to point out, so it is a reduction in value. It's still expensive.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What I did was I got you more than one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not cheap by any means. One of them is black market. Okay.
Oh, please tell me you got me orangutan.
No, but this is gonna fucking don't even guess.
Okay,
all I'll
I'm
tell you
guess.
Is that it is not easy to get a hold of, and I had to go to undesirable types to get it.
And
the purchase was made in cash.
By the way, I'm just want to point this out. The list I sent you, one of them was a Russian bride.
Well, if we did
bring
that,
her in the bedroom, Leanne,
we would
welcome Natasha. Here's the thing. I was thinking for my birthday, I turned 50, right? Yeah. The way I normally celebrate a birthday is to get fucking blackout drunk. And then I wake up the next day and I'm miserable. Am I going to drink on my birthday? Like, what would you do if it was your birthday? Like, 50th birthday, big party, your parents are coming in, your sisters are there, you got a bunch of friends, you guys go to, like, these beach houses in Newport.
Sure.
And everyone's like, so my birthday's on, like, on the 3rd.
Yeah.
We drive down on the 2nd. And so, like, we get there and we're like, hey, who wants a bottle of, who wants a spritz? Oh, my brain goes, oh, I love a spritz. Watch a sunset with a cigar and a spritz. But then that turns into a few more spritz. Or do I just go, no, not for me, guys.
Well, I mean
like that seems crazy that people
I
do know, that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess everybody has a different relationship with it. So like for me, having a drink or two just is like, I don't know. Most times I just, that's what's normal and I feel fine.
You just, but you do not feel, do you feel a buzz?
It depends on the drink and what I've eaten. Like if I'm hungry, if I've eaten, sometimes I have a drink and I feel absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have a drink and I'm like, holy shit, what was in this? Like I'm fucking
really
loopy.
And then you want another one?
Well, just to, again, it depends on the night, you know?
So then, and are you still, do you have?
I don't drink ever in the morning, in midday.
Never would.
Never. But zero interest. It's not even like I'm trying to make a statement. I'm just zero interest.
It's like, my drinking
happens like after 8 p.m. always.
Okay. I think that might be my new rule. I might start drinking. Because planes is what fucks me up the most with drinking
it.
I
think that you almost have to like make that separation happen. But yeah, I know what you're going to ask about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you going through something?
Well, I mean, life,
But like, can I tell you, when I found out you did ayahuasca, I felt like I had not been a good friend to you.
Really?
Yeah, I felt like I am not asking you what goes on with you. I fire hose people and I tell them what's going on with me, mm-hmm. and then I deal with me, and then I just walk away and I go, that was a good conversation.
Dude, that's this podcast. Now, it wasn't, here's the thing. I had heard from friends about this. It's not go to Latin America and sit in the hut.
Which you could have done very easily.
Which I could do. I just call a cousin and do that.
Yeah.
But but this person was like, no, this is somebody here in the States, and they'll travel, and they go, it's an amazing, two friends told me about it, and they're like, it's such an incredible
experience. We should talk about what we're talking about. So at the very end of the Rogan podcast.
Yeah.
When we're doing Sober October, Tom just very casually let out, oh, I did ayahuasca. And I was like, and ayahuasca is something that it seems to, if you don't know, it's a plant in South America.
Yeah.
Where they drink it. It cures alcoholism. It did for Ron White. And it's like a spiritual journey that a lot of people that are looking for something take.
So I should be, there's accuracy with what you're saying. What I say is that my friends had told me, they're like, this is such an awesome experience. And I was like, oh, is it like the traditional drink the tea, vomit, diarrhea, but you know, and they were like, no, this is different than that. This is a shaman who has all different types of medicinal things. And you don't have to get involved with the ayahuasca aspect, but the ayahuasca you get here is like, it's, there's a reduction in, you don't do a tea. It's cooked into a chocolate. And there also is I always forget how to say it. Is it
psilocybin.
Psilocybin and ayahuasca, also separate from some of the other options. And they do they talk to the person, and then with the person, they go like, you know, what are you looking for? What is like your intent? What is your motivation for doing this?
And so what did you say? Can you talk about that?
Well, then they also read kind of like who you are. You know, are you like full of anxiety going to? I wasn't full of anxiety, but what I definitely said was that I was like, you know, my only experience of anything, even in this realm, which people would say, well, that's not in this realm. And I understand that would be like, sometimes I've had edibles that are so powerful. You have like, you know, maybe some profound or feeling profound thoughts, but also accompanied with like anxiety and paranoia. Yeah. And I go, I really am not looking for that experience. Like yeah. that. And they that, go,
no one is. I'm not.
And they go, you'll have none of that. Like none. And I was like, okay. And they were right. I had no anxiety whatsoever.
So how much can you walk me through this experience?
Somewhat.
Why? Because the guy gets in trouble if anyone finds out who he is?
No. I would keep some of the, you know, details private because I would want them to be.
Like what?
Like what I was thinking.
I don't need to know what you were thinking and talking about.
Oh, I mean, I could tell you exactly what I did. So you have options.
Can you tell me who introduced you to the guy?
Off mic, I will. Yeah. I don't know if they want.
Do I know him?
Yeah.
I do?
I think so.
Comic?
No.
Oh.
I
just keep fucking write his name down so I can see it. Because it helps the story for me.
Okay.
Just give me initials.
Initials?
Yeah, just give me something so I know.
But
so
don't say the initials.
I won't say the initials.
God. Two people.
Ooh.
Okay, so that's what you get. So
I shouldn't have said initials. I should have just said names.
But anyway, I ended up, just let me tell you. I'll tell you. I ended up, so you have an option. You can go do like a group setting.
So you get this guy online or you call him on the phone?
I was introduced on the phone.
Okay. So you call him up and he's like, you talk Spanish to him or
English? I was introduced to the person via text.
Yeah.
Then he called me.
He's like, hello, Tommy.
Yeah. And he was like, he just talked to me about, you know, what they do. And this was still like, it was a long conversation, and basically said how he got into it, explained the whole thing. And I was like, okay, I go, I'm very interested. And then like we talked about, my schedule has been daunting, dude. My schedule has been daunting for a while.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is like month 14 of this tour and it's still going hard.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've been doing this. We do this podcast at your mom's house. You know, I've got other things going. I had the book come out. I have another project. We have a project.
Yeah.
Traveling. I'm doing fucking 8-9 shows a week sometimes. And like, it's been crazy, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, look, I tried to prioritize. I really want to do this. And I found a date that I could do it. I literally flew home one day. The next day I went and I said I wanted a private. I don't want to be there with fucking six people.
No, a bunch of ham and eggers going, yeah. I'm seeing God, man. Yeah,
I don't want to do it.
Fuck off.
You can curate. I could be like, hey, I want to do it with Bert, and we could go do it together. You can say, I want to do it with Leanne, and you could have it just you and Leanne.
Good luck.
But I told him I wanted a private, like alone.
No, not even push.
No, just alone. Yeah.
Did you tell her about that you were doing things?
Yeah.
And she was like, I think you should do it.
She was excited for me.
But she did not want to do it.
She does want to do it. After I got back, she was like, I want to do it. Because okay. I told her all about it. So I ended up going to a place. I booked a place, like a actual place to have it take place at. And then they showed up.
In Austin?
Yeah.
Okay.
They showed up and we just sat around, you know, we got nude. We, I'm just kidding. So,
Jesus Christ.
No, we just had a good conversation. They were super nice people.
Yeah. There's more than one.
Yeah.
And like, do they take your blood pressure and stuff?
No, they kind of ask general questions. And I think they also are getting like a read on the person, like to see. Yeah. And then when we talked about, you know, what I was excited about doing it for, and they're like, okay. And they opened this case and they just were like looking through these labeled things, and they were like, and then they just give you a little thing. Oh, we did a little meditation first. I took one, and then about 30 minutes later I started to feel like a little something happening, and they're like, why don't you go lay down? And they started this playlist. So there's this musical playlist,
like kind of shaman shit.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And it morphs into other stuff, but it started that way. And then I came out, talked to them some more.
Are you still tripping?
Well, it's starting to go up. Like it's starting to.
So they go. Hey,
and I haven't taken that chocolate yet. This is something else.
Oh, you're just doing the introductory course.
So then, about an hour later, I feel it more throughout the whole body.
Good.
I feel good. Very warm. Very peaceful. And then. Starts to get darker because it started at like we met up at 4 p.m. Yeah. So this is now it's let's say you
did
know
you eat
let's
a
say,
meal before.
I ate light in the morning. That was it.
So okay. I didn't want to throw anything up.
Yeah, and I didn't want to like minimize the effect of what I was taking.
Oh,
yeah. And then by like 8 p.m. I was like, whoa, I was rolling. Really? And then and then I went and I saw them in the other room. I told them, and then I got another dose of what it was originally given to me. And then I went back in that room. And by this time he had set up one of those just like little cheap light show things on the ceiling. So like the room's dark, but you're seeing like a light, you know what I mean? It's like a $40 thing that like projects light and changes patterns. And I was pretty lost in that and enjoying, and the music and everything.
Enjoying it.
Well, your thoughts start just streaming out to you.
Did you cry at all?
A little bit. But it was more about like, it was like I was accessing all these thoughts in a very clear way, but they weren't accompanied with that panic that I hate, you know, the panic, like that weed panic, because I don't know how to describe it. But so I ended up just really enjoying that. And then I went back out there a couple hours later and they brought up that chocolate that had the...
Ayahuasca?
Yeah. And
so hold on. So this has been, you've been tripping now for like 4 fucking hours.
Yeah.
And you've had fucking, and you still haven't done the ayahuasca yet?
Right. And then I go, let's fucking dial it up, you know? And so then I ate that. And then I went to a bed around 3, but at 1, I go outside and I'm on these like I'm in these grounds, like these, I don't know, like this, these private grounds, manicured, and I go for a walk, and I'm not exaggerating. I walk on this path, and I see a fox, and I'm like, no fucking shit. And then I get closer, and I realize it's not a fox. It's like a little bobcat, right? But I'm like, I'm just kind of like zoned in, and I go, this would be a crazy way to die right now, you know? like tripping on this path at like 1:30 in the morning looking at this cat. And it was a little one.
And the guy's still in the room?
No, they're gone. They left.
They left. How hard were you tripping at one?
It was coming down.
Enough to be like, I'm good.
That's why I'm going to go for a walk. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Before, like at 11:30, I was like, I can barely stand.
For real?
Yeah.
How intense is a trip at 11:30?
Well, it's just that I was like, when I stood up to go pee, I was like, whoa. And I had to like, you know, kind of get my bearings and like hold on to shit. And I was like, man, I just, you knew like, I'm not good to drive. I'm not good to like go out, but I'm alone and I'm
at peace.
No.
That's what I need.
No. Just I had a couple grapes and they tasted amazing. Then I just, I went for that walk. And then I laid down. The funny thing is I laid down and I put a sleep mask on. I was like, it's time to like dial this down, you know, sleep mask on. And I go and I hear like some ambient noise. And then I was like, no, it's still going. I took it off. I was like, oh shit. And I don't even know what time I probably slept a couple hours that night.
Really? Know? And then how'd you feel the next day?
Okay. I mean, tired. You know, I was tired.
Any residual effects?
I just, you know, I had made a lot of notes. So it was really? Like, yeah, you could access your notes.
Did you work on your hour at all?
No, I did nothing. It was so nice to have a break from even thinking about comedy, you know, like that night.
So you made notes about like mental notes about what you're going through?
Yeah, life stuff. Yeah, yeah. And then I even recorded my voice a few times, you know, and played it back. And I was like, oh yeah, it brought me back to that moment.
Really?
Yeah.
And no panic the whole time, just fun.
Not zero.
But are you a hallucinatory guy? Like, did you like hallucinogens growing up?
I didn't do any.
What?
Never did it.
Really? So this is the first time you hallucinate and you enjoyed it.
Oh yeah, I set up another one already.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
But for what? Like, it's like therapy,
it's,
right?
Yeah, it's an enjoyable experience though. I mean, mine was. So the first thing I thought, like I saw them the next morning. They came back to like, you know, check on me, integration stuff. And then I was like, hey, I got to get like people I know involved.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, I can already think of like, cause you can do it. You could curate a group of like friends. Like I want like Bert and like have like you four, like you can do that. And I was like, they would, you know, you start thinking about people who would love it. Like
I'd like to be able to like, I'd be like,
look at that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. That looks just like me. I feel like I'm hallucinating. See, I'm afraid I'd see that in my fucking hallucination.
Yeah.
And then I'd be having a shit show experience.
Yeah.
I wonder if Liam would be into that.
It would be so, I think you guys might enjoy it, man.
But I don't know what I need to work on.
Well, I mean, it seems like you had this great insight about yourself. How would you not go into it with that?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like you like that thing that you just said about what you realize about alcohol and like, you know, just like the reality of it.
Yeah.
Exploring that, wouldn't that be a...
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Why do you even reluctantly say yeah?
I don't know. I'm already nervous about, like when you said I hadn't even taken the ayahuasca yet, I got panic and I went, I'm good. I had good 4 hours. I'm good. I'm out. Yeah. I didn't get hurt.
And none of it got to a level of like, what the fuck is... No.
Really?
No, not like that at all. It all was very warm feeling.
Shit.
I think you would like it.
Well, how does this person, how do they concoct their cocktails?
Don't know.
Were they white?
They were, but they got them from someone not white.
What?
They told me, yeah.
They told you where they got them?
Somebody from the fucking motherland.
For real?
Yeah.
Shit. Did you ever see Chelsea Handler do it?
No.
Oh, she's just crying. Like she's, but she did it in the jungle where you throw up and stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that. Too many spiders.
I don't either, because
stuff.
I also have had this experience where I'm like, oh, it's a fucking amazing experience. Where
it can
I,
be really awesome.
That I didn't have anything like that. So why would I? No, I'm good.
They say you're supposed to do it if you know you're dying.
Really?
Yeah.
If you know you're dying?
I don't know.
It's
because I guess like there was that, remember that lady that Rogan used to have on who's really beautiful? She was a CNN reporter and then she became a psychedelic journalist. Do you know what I'm talking about, Nadav? She was gorgeous.
Is she dead or something?
No. Oh. No. CNN reporter became psychedelic therapist, journalist. Yeah. See what comes up. Amber Lyon. Amber Lyon. Pull a picture. She got really into it. I guess she, I had her on my podcast.
You had her on their podcast?
Yeah, she's beautiful. And she would do like, I think her dude was into psychedelics pretty aggressively. And she would
have
poisonous frogs, liquor. Yeah. Okay. And like she would did everything. And then she said she had panic about maybe that wasn't what it was. I'm not a good listener. What's she doing now? See what she's doing now. She had like burns all down her arm and she was like, oh yeah, we did these things and it was really crazy.
She's known for her work reporting human rights abuses and against pro-democracy protests in Bahrain and police brutality against protesters in the United States. That's a bizarre fucking photo she uses for her profile. Amber Lyon was born in Denver. Keep going. Career. Okay. Go back. Go down more. Sorry. Go more. Arab Spring. Got it. Anaheim.
I think she's a real person. Okay.
Advocacy of... In early 2014, Lyon launched an advocacy site called Reset.me, a group for the emotional healing benefits of certain psychedelic drugs based on her own experience with them and on her research into the history of their use. But that doesn't really give...
She did everything.
But that's a while ago now.
She did everything. Yeah, I had her on my podcast because I was trying to figure things out and I thought, I have a terrible fear of death. And so I think that's...
Do you really?
Oh, I mean, that's all I think about.
Death?
All I think about.
Is dying.
All, I think. And death. Death and dying and other people dying. And
Now,
there's big fucking thing of fentanyl and drugs.
Yeah.
And Georgia goes to college. And I text her all the time. Please don't do any designer drugs. Just smoke weed, drink, have fun. Do what you got to do. But do not take a pill someone gives you. Do not. I text her all the time. My life will suck if anything happens to you. I need you to stay safe.
And what did she say?
She's like, of course, Dad, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like the kids that age, you look, my dad could have texted me the same thing. And I've been like, yeah, sure, whatever. But then all of a sudden you're at beach week and everyone's fucking passing around pills. And you're like, well, these guys aren't going to die. You know, that's the way your brain works when you're a kid. And so I just.
You know what else you could tell her, honestly? Like if somebody pulls out a pill or powder, be like, you do it first.
Yeah.
That's what those people, like seriously. And you see somebody snort something, be like, and then if they die, you know, don't do it.
Yeah,
you know?
I should tell her that.
Yeah.
Text Georgia right now. Uncle Tom has great advice. If someone offers you drugs, make them do it first in front of you and wait to see if they die. If they don't die,
still don't do it.
Perfect. I get nervous for all that. I get fucking terrified for all of that. Like, it's this whole time I've been checking my phone because my dad's in surgery, and I'm just like looking at my phone, going like, because then you go, oh fuck! Like, this is how morbid my brain is.
Yeah,
I said because he was supposed to be in surgery while I was flying, so I said, so if I land and he's dead, what do I do? I was like, do I drink? I guess I drink. I mean, probably. Do I get on a plane or do I fly to LA or do I fly to Tampa? Or do I just do the podcast? I should probably do the podcast. Those will get good numbers. Because I'll talk to Tom about it and I'll just cry. And then that'll be, and everyone can relate to that. And I was like, and that's probably my place I'd want to be. Like, I'd want to be with you probably if I was going through that because you'd recently gone through that.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And this is the thoughts I had like laying in my bunk last night going like, oh, I hope he doesn't die. Like, I know he's going to die one day. And then I was on stage last night, and I was like, I should not be on stage. I should be on the phone talking to him right now. Like, what if something happens? He's not even fucking worried. He's like, buddy, it's a catheter, you know? But you could tell he's worried.
Yeah.
You can tell he's worried.
I could tell when my dad was, too. He would be like, oh, I feel good. And you're like, he's worried.
Yeah.
You could see, you know your father so well, and the layers, and like how, like, you could just see, it's like body language, eye movement, intonations, and you're like, oh, you can tell when they're actually worried. You
know? My sister called him. This is probably whatever, I don't care. My sister called him, and Gotti and my dad have a really tight connection, like really tight. And I talked to him after, and I could tell something was going on with him. When he found out he had to have the procedure, I could tell something was going on with him, and I called my sister. I go, yo, what's going on? I just talked to dad. What's going on? And she was like, oh, did you guys end up crying? And I went, no. And she goes, well, it's better than our conversation. And I was like, oh, fuck. So then I did a group call. And then for a weird reason, our dynamic as a group always ends up busting balls.
Yeah.
And it always ends up laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all laughed and joked about the procedure. And then got off the phone, and my sister's like, I should have talked to you in the first place. But I'm the whole time I'm like looking at Georgia wrote, that sounds like an Isla idea. but it's crazy because you know that the everyone dies, and that's what sucks. I wish you got to pick when you died. Would you want to die before everyone or after everyone?
Oof. Well,
meaning you have to watch everyone die, but you get to
live longer.
Live longer, yeah, which is pretty fucking awesome.
It depends on how you're living. Are you living well? Healthy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to bury, you know, a number of people.
That'd be great. If we could just pick them.
Yeah. Oh, I have my list ready. I'd be like, them, please.
You guys are going out first.
Yeah. God, if I was in charge...
I bet there's dudes whose wives...
I wish I could pick the way, too.
If there is a, like, I have such fucking morbid thoughts, like, where I go, there's got to be dudes whose wives died. This is so horrible.
Uh-huh.
I can't even say it. I think,
where they were...
Like, if Leanne's going to die in the next 10 years, I want her to die now, while I'm still young, you know? Like, I don't want to fucking be 60 when she dies and then I can't get hot pussy.
Yeah.
Like, I want, like, get it over with. If, I mean, it's going to happen in 10 years. It's going to hurt no matter what. It's going to suck. We're not going to get to spend our lives into 80.
Yeah.
I bet she feels the same way about me.
Like, just have it happen.
Just get it over with.
Who do you think what kind of guy do you think she'd go? It would be the opposite type of guy.
He would boring. Be
super different.
I bet she'd date a 70-year-old dude.
70?
Yeah. Somebody likes to sit on a porch and read a book. I could have a nice cup of tea. You want a cup of tea? And he'd be like, oh, I'd love a cup of tea. Do you have chamomile?
You think that's what she'd go for?
Yeah. She's boring as fuck.
Well, she had a long ride with the opposite type.
Yeah. She had a good ride with the fucking fun.
Yeah.
And she has no interest in fun.
Yeah.
She said the other day, maybe I'll use this in my special. I'm not going to say it. We got naked and got in the hot tub the other night. It was random as fuck. And I was like, what is happening to you? And she was just like, I don't know. Girls are almost out of the house. This is going to be our life. And I was like, fucking in a hot tub? I could do this.
There you go.
I thought we were going to be sitting playing fucking Cat's Cradle. Just, okay, your turn. Want to watch Steel Magnolias again? Do you? It's good. If you watch it the second time, sis is really funny.
Oh, boy.
I hate that I love her. I hate that she's got my number and she makes me fucking laugh.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I was like those guys who just don't give a fuck and just cheat and then they feel fulfilled, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do that.
You talk about this so much. I think you should do this on your ayahuasca trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. how great would it be if ayahuasca, I took ayahuasca with Leanne and we both looked 25.
Yeah.
And just fucking railed all night. And they're like, what ayahuasca would you like? I go, can we get the younger one? Can I get the Botox ayahuasca? And then we both take it and we look fucking hot. And we just rail all night long. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want the ayahuasca where my dick looks bigger. Have you worked out yet today?
Not yet. No. Have you?
No, no. I got to work out.
Yeah, I'm going to work out this later today. Yeah.
Are you with the trainer or by yourself?
By myself today.
I'm going to work out over it on it.
Nice.
With Lacey. I stay right by on it.
All right. It's great to see you.
It's great seeing you.
Let's keep this sobriety and insight and everything going. It's a good podcast, man.
It's a little deep.
It was deep. I liked it, though. It was fun.
I wonder if there's anyone that got any. I bet there's people that are. I bet you're going to get hit up by a lot of people going, hey, can I get your ayahuasca guy?
And guess what? No.
I wonder if there's anyone. I wonder if there's anyone that listens to this and goes, "Holy shit, that's what I do when I drink." What if I become an alcoholic shaman, and I lead this movement? You know what I've wanted to do? What? I wanted to bring a fucking doctor to my shows and do blood pressure readings to my audience members and have them prescribe medication for high blood pressure.
Has your heart rate ever spiked during the show and where it registers on your Whoop?
No.
Dude, I've done a couple shows where I didn't think anything of it. I wasn't like, oh man, I was fired. But I get off, and maybe it's because my resting heart rate is so low.
You have a like 44 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go sit on that chair, you know, no caffeine, like just wait, it'll go down to like 36, 37.
What's your resting heart rate right now?
Right now, I'm drinking coffee and we're at talk, so it's not going to be that low.
All right, my resting heart rate is, I love this, I do this all the time. Start activity, 65.
That's pretty low.
For drinking coffee and talking.
Yeah, mine's probably higher. Yeah, 70. But what was I saying to you? Oh, yeah.
Your heart rate spikes.
All of a sudden, I open my Whoop and it's like, we notice an activity for like 66 minutes. And it's like, as I'm on stage.
Really?
Yeah, it'll track like it was like a real fitness. I'm like, holy shit.
You know, you really fucked me up with what I'm wearing on stage for my special, right?
How did I fuck you?
Because I'm now like obsessing about it.
What do you mean? You always wear nothing.
I know. But I feel like jeans aren't enough.
Oh,
I feel like I've worn jeans for every special, and I feel like it's almost like
You should change the pants.
Yeah, but I don't want them to be distracting.
Yeah, but you can. They don't have to be. But it's like I think it's a good thing to make a different color choice.
Yeah, I need to look at a bunch of different pants.
Where are you shooting again? Omaha.
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 I think we're gonna open up some seats.
Nice.
Yeah, because we took a bunch out for kills for cameras. So we fly there tomorrow. Not tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. We fly there to go check to see. You know what I'm doing? Have you done Alaska yet?
Yeah.
Have you? Where did you do?
I don't remember the name.
Did you do just a theater or the arena?
Couple theaters.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm doing Alaska in December. I'm just going to go fucking snowboarding for 3 weeks. That's the other thing is I go.
3 weeks?
Not 3 weeks, 3 days, three days. That's the other thing is I go, I do that so much where I say things and I don't know what I say. And then that's the narrative they hear. And they're like, no, Bert went to Alaska for 3 weeks. And I go, no, it's 3 days. And they're like, you told me 3 weeks. I don't think so.
That's a very Bert thing.
But I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, that's the part about drinking where I go, I want to be healthy when I'm in Alaska to go snowboarding.
Yeah.
Like, I want to maintain this, like, heart rate thing.
Shows there were fantastic, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
They like it?
Yeah.
Fucking savages, right?
They were great.
You say anything.
Oh, they were great. They were really great. Yeah. I think you really have to make an effort to go there. And I think people there recognize, they know that. They're like, you know, we don't get, not everybody puts Anchorage on their list.
I was thinking about doing Antarctica.
Antarctica? Yeah. You're just doing it for some researchers?
No, but I don't know if they get my comedy because the type of person that goes to Antarctica to live.
Who lives there? Isn't it just
5,000 people? I was like, I got to be able to move 2,000 tickets, right?
Will it be your first shirt on show?
No. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Antarctica has 5,000 people that live there.
It has no permanent population.
Visiting scientists.
That's what I'm saying. They're researchers.
Yeah. I'll just be like, are you guys up with heat shock proteins? And they'll be like, yeah. do you know that aging changes the genetics of your child? If you work out, you can fix that. Who's up with microscopes? You don't need a microscope to see this dick.
Yeah,
and they'll be like, yeah.
Yeah, that's just good.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing Antarctica. It's a flight. It's a 3-hour flight from South Africa, they say.
From South Africa?
Maybe I could be wrong.
Okay.
My reading comprehension is shit.
Getting into real Bert territory here. All right. That is the sign to wrap it up.
All right. I love you.
Love you too.
Bye. Bye.
Bert and Tom. Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.